Good morning, afternoon, everybody. It's afternoon here in California, so it must be afternoon where you are at, too. You know, I love my lion back here. I want to welcome you today to another session, and I want to bless you. And as I do, I just want to share a couple things first. One of them is my friend George Flores has a radio station called called The Gate Radio. It's on thegateradio.org. You can get the app on your Android or your iPhone, The Gate. And you can listen. It's 24/7 prayer, praise, and encouragement. And don't we need it all? It's a ministry out of the International House of Prayer out of New Jersey and the Eastern Gate. And why don't you go ahead and listen to it. And let God bless you as you go through your day. And what I like to tell people as well is that if you are discouraged, if you have issues at home or wherever, and if you have like a chaos feeling in the atmosphere where you're at, go ahead and put that radio station on even when you're not home and let God minister life into your home, okay? Another thing is, I'm trying to raise $1,000 to move into my new place, and I have a Venmo, Cash App, PayPal, and also Zelle, and if you want to donate to that, I will post them in the description. Here and on my Facebook page, on my podcast, and also on YouTube. So if you want to do that, and I ask you to, I'm just trying to raise $1,000 for that. I'm also looking for a vehicle, and you can go fund me for that. And I'm either going to get a bicycle, e-bike, or a car, whichever I can do. There's a vehicle that it's a Nissan Pathfinder. Is it a Pathfinder? Anyway, it's like $3,400 for that, and it would be perfect. Another friend is selling a Chevy Sonic. You know, be kind of cool to get around if I can get the money for the car. If not, I'm settling for the I'm doing the e-bike just to get around town. You got places to go, and you can lock it up and. Yesterday, I walked 4 miles to get to church, and it took me about an hour and 15 minutes, which wasn't really bad. Just walking around town, it's actually healthy, but I need a bike to get up and down and around and all that stuff. So if you'd be willing to donate into that, go to my GoFundMe. I'll post that on here as well, and then we can get the bike or the bicycle or the e-bike. Anyway, whatever comes in, that's what I'm going to do. And God is my provider, and I'm not worried, and I know that God will provide something, and I just thank him for that. Okay? Well, praise God. I want to go to, and if you want to get in touch with me about anything, it's tomandsarahministries@gmail.com, and we'll be able to, get information. I have two books out, actually, too. One of them is called SOS, A 50-Day Journey into the Heart of God. It is a devotional book geared for 5 to 10 minutes a day. So I want to be able to do that. The other thing is I have another book. It's called From Breakdown to Breakthrough, my journey into soul health. And in 2018, I've said this before, but 2018, I had a nervous breakdown that lasted pretty much the whole year. My divorce was finalized. We had the big fires here in Reading, being displaced. I remember that first night. The first night I was displaced 3 times that first night, and ended up sleeping on a floor, and then I got to work the next day. It was not an easy night, but then through the time that we were out, I was you know, I was displaced. And so, I mean, God provided, but, you know, at the same time, it was harsh. And I had, like, I had a major nervous breakdown where I couldn't, I didn't want to get out of bed. And even though I was working, I had to get out of bed, but I didn't want to. I basically lived 5 minutes at a time because that's really what I had to, that's all I could take. I couldn't get overwhelmed by what was going on, but I had to take it literally 5 minutes at a time. And God was faithful, and he showed me the way out, and I got the way out, and here I am today. I learned a lot yesterday. If you can go to Bethel, the Bethel Live on from yesterday, Bill Johnson was preaching, and really just spoke to my heart about, I'll get into the word in a second, spoke to my heart about not sabotaging what God does, what God has spoken into my life. And a lot of times that's what I would do, is I would speak something that was contradictory to what he had spoken to me. He had spoken to me that he was my provider. He was going to provide for every one of my needs. And I didn't have faith enough to see him, in the crisis situations, in the hard situations, in the situations where I had no money, and or I had no something wasn't provided for that moment. I had twice already in Reading. It was raining, and I had to walk miles to get to a service or to get to where I was going. I was going to the apartments that I was applying for. Still am applying for it. And there's little roadblocks right now. But it's pretty funny that I had, as I was walking, it was raining. It had started to rain. And I had prayed, God, hold the rain back, just keep it in the clouds. And right after I got to where I was going, it would start to rain. And it was so cool. And I remember I had a ride back. Both times I had to walk back home. And, and as I was walking, it would drizzle a little bit. I said, no, Holy Spirit, you hold that rain. And the rain was held back until I got to where I needed to go. I thought that was really, really cool, how God provided for that. God is, his redemptive names are Jehovah, my provider, God, my healer, God, my righteousness, God, my shepherd, God, my peace, okay? He's God, he's the God who's always there. And he's also God, my refuge, my victor, the victorious one, God, my refuge, God, basically Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, my banner. And in understanding that you have a place of refuge, you do have righteousness. The Bible says that God, this God who knew no sin, Jesus who knew no sin, God made him to become sin for us. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. In ourselves, the Bible says, Isaiah says that all of our righteousness is like a filthy rag. Okay? But his righteousness in me, it's his righteousness in me, and we will get to that in just a second here in Ephesians. But we have this in our in the purchase of the cross, we have these redemptive names of Jesus available to us, okay, all the time. And I tell people all the time that if we struggle or if we strive or if we beg God, then that means that we don't that we don't believe that the cross was enough, that the blood of Jesus was enough. I hear people say all the time about sin that, God, you gotta, they're not confessing their sin. They're just saying, help me. You know, help me not to. But the Bible says that we got to, you know, that we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. However, the blood of Jesus covers us from all sin. So all we have to do is confess our sin. In other words, we're agreeing with God that what we did was sin. Okay? And repent of it. Change the way we think about how that thing looks to God and how that thing should look to us. You align your thoughts, your life with what the God, with what the kingdom says, what Jesus says about it. That is true repentance. And you change the way you think. We are being transformed every day by the renewing of our minds. That's a good word right there. So anyway, let's go into Ephesians. And gosh, Ephesians 1 is so full. And I don't know if we're going to get into Ephesians 2 today, but I just love this. In verse 19 of chapter 1, he said that I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of his immense power as it works through you. So in other words, you become a Goodyear blimp. You get to tell people or show people that God has transformed your life. That is really good. And we get to do that. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the highest, to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. Basically, when God seated him or enthroned him at his right hand, and when you're sitting at somebody's right hand, you are seated in a place of honor and authority. Okay, that was part of the Hebrew culture. It was part of the Roman culture at the time. If you were at the right hand of the person that was there, you were given the seat of honor. Okay? A lot of weddings, and I don't know, you know, it's a tradition at a wedding, but a lot of weddings that I have been to, whether they meant it or not, is not the issue. But a lot of weddings that I've been to, the husband sits on the right, is sitting on the left side, and the wife sits on the right. Okay? And so basically, he is giving her honor. He has given her the honor. He has given her the co-authority with him. And I don't know if they know that by actual purpose or if they do it by accident. But in the Hebrew culture, it is their culture to seat the wife at the right hand, okay, of the husband. All right, when they are standing there, she's on the left side of the husband, but she's on the right hand of the minister, of the rabbi, or whoever. And so she is given this place of honor. And then when they turn around, she is given that place of honor from the husband. I don't know if anybody understood that, but that's the truth. And so the Bible says that in Ephesians, and we'll get into it at some point, is that we are seated with him in heavenly places. So if we are seated with him, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and we are seated in a place of honor and a place of authority. In Matthew chapter 28, he says, all authority is given to me, okay? Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations. Go into all the world and all authority is given to me, so go into all the world. Okay? So basically, Jesus is saying, I have authority, and I'm giving you the authority to do that. And this is all bonus stuff. It's not everything of what I've wanted to talk about today. This is all bonus stuff. In Matthew chapter 10, he commissioned the disciples to go to the lost sheep of Israel. And he said, this is really important. He said, tell them that the kingdom of God is within their reach. He gave them authority. And he told them to tell the people that the kingdom of God is touchable. Heal the sick, raise the dead, open blind eyes, set people free from the demonic oppression. Freely you have received, freely give of the kingdom. And whatsoever things you ask, if it's contained in my name, or whatsoever things you ask in my name, I will give it to you. Wow, that's good stuff right there. I'm preaching almost. So now, he is exalted, verse 21, is exalted as first above every ruler, authority, and government. In other words, he is exalted as the primary, as the highest. And realm of power in existence, he is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised, or every name every name that is named. When it says here in the Passion Translation, every name that is praised, it is quoted exactly from the Aramaic, how the Aramaic said it. Not only in this age, or the Aramaic says, not only in this universe, but in this time that is coming. And he alone is the leader and the source, okay? So Jesus is the only one that is. And I love this. And his, in chapter 2, his fullness fills you. I love that. Even though you were once dead in your own sins. You were corpses. Okay? So God, this is great. We are dead in our sins. Okay? And I want to explain this. We are dead in our sins. Before we became believers, we are dead in... Like, if you're not a believer today, you are dead in your sin. You're dead. And then Jesus comes and fills you with his fullness. Now, Jesus is alive, but as Galatians says, we have been, past tense, crucified with Christ. And it is no longer us who lives, but it is Christ who lives in you. So we are alive, but we are alive in Christ. We are alive in Christ Jesus. We are alive in Christ. Because he lives in us. And the life we now live, we live by faith. We were dead, as Paul says. We were dead in our sins and offenses. Okay? And it wasn't long ago that we lived in the religion, the customs and values of this world. Okay? I mean, people go to church, right? But it's a bunch of religion, isn't it? If Jesus is not king and you aren't going to honor him, but you're going out of obligation, or you're going because it's the right thing to do, it is not done out of faith. I know that's going to get people mad at me, but just because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. You are dead in your religious customs. That's all it is a religious custom. And Jesus told the Pharisees that you negate the word because of your traditions. And we have glorified tradition over Jesus. Now, I'm not saying don't go to church, but what I'm saying is go to fellowship with a body of believers. To be fed, yes. To be filled, yes. But because you love Jesus, not because you have to. I know I made some people mad, and I'm sorry about it. I'm not sorry about it, but it's true. Because we were obeying in those things, we were obeying the dark ruler of this earthly realm who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth. Remember, he is the prince of the power of the air. He is in the second heaven. And he's ruling over the atmospheres. He's the prince of the power of the air. But God has given us, we are seated right now with him in heavenly places. We are seated with Jesus in heavenly places. So that means we are in the third heaven. And the devil is, as the Bible says, the devil is under our feet. So we need to fight from the third heaven, not from the second heaven or the first heaven. We need to fight him as victors, not fight him trying to gain victory. We battle this world from victory, not for victory. He is our banner. The cross made us victor, and the keys of the kingdom have already been given to us. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. I love Jesus. Don't you just love him? And then in verse 4, he says, but God. So in the midst of all of that, but God still loved us with such great love. God has already taken into account all of the things you're going to miss, all of the sins you're going to commit, all of the attitudes and mindsets that you have. He knew that you were going to do that already, and he still chose you. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us. How? By his glorious grace. I love that. By his wonderful grace. And he raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and he and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. For now, I love this, we are now co-seated as one with Christ. We are placed, or we are seated in heaven. Okay? So remember, here is Jesus. Here is Jesus. He is seated in heaven. And God has, when we gave our life to Jesus, we are exalted to the third heaven. We are seated with him in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. That's where we are right now, and we have to function in that. We have to function from a place of victory, from the place of the third heaven, seated with Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, and with all honor and authority. So therefore, as Matthew 28, we said it before, says that all authority is given to him. Therefore, you go and make disciples. Go into all the world because you have all the authority. And you have all the resources of heaven at your disposal if you have given Jesus rulership of your life. If you've given Jesus your life and are saved, you have all that authority. And you have all that honor. And the devil hates it. It's something that the angels can't even experience. It's really cool. Okay. This is just really awesome. I'm getting, every time I read Ephesians, I just get more blessed. Anyway, in verse 7, throughout the coming ages, or throughout the coming time, okay, throughout these coming ages, we will be the visible display of infinite, limitless riches of his grace. You are the Goodyear blimp billboard of his glorious grace. This is really good. For it is only through his wonderful grace that we believed in him. Nothing we did could ever earn this. Whoa. It is God's gift of grace. It says, we have been saved by grace through faith. And that faith isn't even of ourselves. It is a gift of God. We'll get into more of this tomorrow. I've gone on long. But you have to understand this, that you are not defeated. You haven't lost. The battle rages, but you haven't lost. It's like in World War II, I taught World War II history in high school, okay? And World War II, the battle was already won, but some of the Germans didn't realize it. Some of the Japanese didn't realize it, and they were still fighting, but they were fighting from a defeated place. The Allies were fighting from a place of victory. They had already won. The emperor and the dictator, they already surrendered. I mean, Adolf Hitler already killed himself. And we were going around and we had the victory already. And so we fought from a place of victory, not for victory. Isn't that great? And isn't that good to know that you have already won? The fact of the matter is, if you haven't quit, you already won. Actually, even if you did quit, you have victory because Jesus is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our victor. That's why we put on the full armor of God. Every day you put on the full armor of God. And the Bible says in Isaiah that the glory of the Lord guards your rear, guards you from behind. And so we fight and we battle from that perspective. And yes, we do have battles on earth. I'm not negating any of that. But what I'm saying is the devil hates you so much, but you already have the victory through the blood of Jesus. So when you're feeling defeated, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling discouraged, when circumstances don't line up with how God wants them to be in your life, you have every right to call on the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Well, that's it for today. We'll pick up some more of this hopefully tomorrow. Again, I'm in need of $1,000 to get into my home. And if you wouldn't mind, you know, donating into that, I'll post that on my Facebook page. $10, a dollar, it doesn't matter. God will bless you for that, and God will meet the need. I figured if I had 100 people giving $10, it would take care of it. If I had 10 people giving $100, God will take care of it. Right now, I need 900 more. Somebody had already given, but I need 900 more dollars to move in. And won't you help out in that? Also need about for both my home and a vehicle to drive. I'm going to need about $4,000. And so there's a GoFundMe for that. There's a PayPal, Venmo, Cash App, Zelle. If you have any of those, and God puts it on your heart to give, ask the Lord, how much should I give? God will tell you. It's usually. What happens to me all the time when that happens is I'm always given two. And if I'm given two numbers, I always give the highest number. So anyway, I'll post those things on my podcast, my YouTube channel, and here on Facebook. And if you would give, that would be a real blessing. Anyway, I want to thank you for joining me today. If you need to get in touch with me for any reason, you want to get a book or whatever, I could tell you how to do it. It's $20 for both books, and that includes shipping and handling. And if you would give, that would be a blessing. Anyway, go ahead and do that, and we'll just see what God does. So anyway, God bless you. Have a great day. Enjoy. Again, it's tomandsarahministries@gmail.com. Well, God bless you. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you the next time.